Okay, Leviticus chapter 16, the Day of Atonement. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for the sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord, two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense, and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the tablets of the covenant law, so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out. Having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel, then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood, some of the goat's blood, and put it all on the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the Israelites. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the wilderness in the care of someone appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a remote place, and the man shall release it in the wilderness. Then Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting, take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place. He is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in the sanctuary area, put on his ordinary garments. Then he shall come out and sacrifice the burnt offering for himself and the burnt offering for the people to make atonement for himself and for the people. He shall also burn the fat of the sin offering on the altar. The man who released the goat as a scapegoat must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterwards, he may come into the camp. The bull and the goat for the sin offerings, whose blood was brought into the most holy place to make atonement, must be taken outside the camp. Their hides, flesh, and intestines are to be burned. The man who burns them must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water. Afterwards, he may come into the camp. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native born or a foreigner residing among you, because on this day atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a day of Sabbath rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance. The priest who is anointed and ordained to succeed his father as high priest is to make atonement. He is to put on the sacred linen garments and make atonement for the most holy place, for the tent of meeting and the altar, and for the priests and all the members of the community. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the people, of the Israelites. And it was done as the Lord commanded Moses. Praise God for his word, which is truly wonderful. I hope you heard that repeat. All the sins, all the sins, all the sins of the people. Children, God bless. You're going to go to your groups now, so follow the leader out the door. The rest of you be ready for prayer in a moment. I've got a couple of prayers. I'm going to use the Bible to lead us in prayer. Firstly, from Daniel, and then from Psalms. I think it's best probably you close your eyes and listen. You can follow along if you want, but if it was me, I would close my eyes and listen. I'm going to pray Daniel 9 prayer. I think it's probably probably the kind of prayer the priest was confessing in Leviticus 16:21. May well be the kind of prayer Daniel prays in chapter 9. So I'm going to use it as our prayer now and then go into Psalm 103. Let's bow our heads together. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and your laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we've sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look in favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Just take a moment in the quiet to bring your own prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen. As always, let's bow our heads and ask God's help as we come to his word. Psalm 111 verse 2, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word together now, we pray that you would delight our hearts and our minds as we ponder on what you've done. Lord, if we're completely new to Leviticus 16, or whether we've heard it many times before, by the work of your Spirit, would you impress the wonder of propitiation on our hearts, we pray. Amen. Well, if you're new, or you've missed a few, great day to be here. You have picked the day. Indeed, it is the day. Leviticus, this is it. This is the day, the Israelites' most holy day, Yom Kippur, the day of atonement. This is, if you like, Good Friday before the real Good Friday. See, Genesis and Exodus have been building to this moment in Leviticus 16. Ever since Adam was cast out of the Garden of Eden, nobody has been able to stand in the holy presence of God. There have been failed attempts to reach God, think Tower of Babel, but there's the cherubim guarding access with a fiery sword. No one can get close, not without dying. The answer Leviticus gives us, God's provision of sacrifices, priests, cleanliness laws, the Day of Atonement. Now, this day was not just a priest entering the presence of God. It is the resolution to Eden lost. So the whole Pentateuch, first five books, point to this day. The five books, and put these up again, the five books kind of, sorry if you can't see them, it's a bit small, but the five books kind of mirror each other from outside in. So you've got Genesis starting in a garden. Deuteronomy ends with them about to enter the land. Exodus and Numbers mirrored by their wanderings going on in the wilderness. And at the end of Exodus, Israel are at Sinai. At the beginning of Numbers, they are at Sinai. Leviticus of the five, of course, is the central book, which itself has mirror kind of sections that move outside in. So in Leviticus, you've got sacrifices, first few chapters, last few chapters, outside edges of Leviticus. Then you've got kind of priest stuff is the next layer, cleanliness laws, and at the center of Leviticus, at its very heart, chapter 16, the Day of Atonement. Leviticus is like a chiasm within a big chiasm, Torah chiasm, if you like. Do you want to hear something really cool? It's cool, but this gets better, okay? Chapters 1 to 15 of Leviticus, the phrase, "the Lord spoke to Moses saying," comes up 18 times. The second half of Leviticus, chapters 17 to 27, the phrase, "the Lord spoke to Moses," comes up, guess what? 18 times. Did I say 18 a minute ago? I did deny. 18 times. 18 in the first half, 18 in the second half, the 19th use of the phrase, the central one, 16 verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses. Please don't count it now. Just take my word for it. Count it later at home. But 19th use. Coincidence, some might say, or Moses who wrote this, arranging Leviticus in such a way to draw us in. This holy day was the holy day when once a year the high priest went behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies, and it was to be, see verse 29, a lasting day. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Verse 31, it is to be a holy day, a day of Sabbath rest. Deny yourselves, it is a lasting ordinance. Verse 32, it is the day atonement is made. The priest who's anointed and so on, he is to put on the garments and make atonement. Verse 33, for the most holy place, the tent of meeting, the altar, the priests, all the members of a community. Get the idea? It is like a spring clean, if you like. It is a catch-all day. It is, verse 34, an annual day. Everything about this day points to, everything we looked at so far, in Leviticus, that the Lord is holy. And you have to work it out a bit when you read Leviticus 16 sort of first time, because there's different offerings for different things. There's different clothes worn at, say, different times. There's a couple of washings going on. And there's more than one going into the most holy place, isn't there? Holy is the Lord, so Aaron must do exactly what God says. He must get it right. That is really important, which he would know. Because these instructions, you see in verse 1, come after the death of his two sons. So verse 2, Aaron is not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain. It seems that's what Nadab and Abihu, chapter 10, did when they felt like it. More sort of weight behind the theory that that's what they did. Do not come, you mustn't choose to do it, or else, it says, he will die. Chapter 10, they got it wrong and died. Because you don't enter God's presence anytime you choose. You don't just turn up, ring the doorbell, hi God, coming in. It doesn't work like that. He must follow God's instructions for his own safety. And of course, for what he's going to do. Verse 3, this is how you enter the most holy place and not die. And first we see it's blood. A young bull for a sin offering, a ram for a burnt offering. Verse 6 and verse 11, we see in those verses that the bull's blood is for Aaron himself and for the household, the Levites. Verse 24, the ram appears, that's the burnt offering. It happens near the end, and you can read there, verse 24, it's for himself and the people. Verse 7, you've got two goats. Verse 8, lots are drawn for the goats to see which one is sacrificed for a sin offering and which is, in verse 10, kept alive, but it's not going to be alive for long because it is sent away into the wilderness. It is the scapegoat, and we'll come back to the goats. Holy is the Lord, so blood is needed, and bath time as well. So atonement day is not the high priest with all the gear and no idea of God's holiness. Actually, it is the high priest with half the gear and every idea that God is holy, holy, holy. Because we see verse 4, the high priest is not to wear all the glorious get-up of chapters 8 to 9, if you remember those, or you can scan back and you may know the kind of stuff the high priest was to wear. Instead, after washing, he is to put on linen. So four times linen is mentioned in verse 4. It's quite easy to remember, isn't it? Linen. Just white, plain white linen. Not the rare and expensive blues and golds, nor the breastplate, the precious stones, or that decorative waistband. None of that. As he goes into God's holy presence, he is to be all in white. He's pretty much a walking bedsheet. That is what he is. Not a thing of splendor. The picture is humility. Not of rank, but stripped of all honor. Not appearing glorious, but a humble sinner. Great detail, isn't it? How many people think? How many times do we slip into thinking our standing before the Lord is through kind of people we've helped, our A grades, our degrees, our maybe our kindness, our charity work, our hard work? No, if you come before God, you must come with nothing. No self-glory. Instead, you need to be lowly. We don't like being stripped of all honor. It is essential. We see it here in the high priest. Holy is the Lord, so it's blood, it's a bath, and it's hide as well. So look at the end of verse 2. God says, I will appear in a cloud over the atonement cover. So God is so holy that Aaron must make a cloud and hide, basically. So verse 12, let's come to the moment. Let's try and get in Aaron's shoes as he's about to enter the Holy of Holies. He's killed a bull. He has some of its blood in something. He takes up a censer, which is a pot with burning coals from the altar, and he has two handfuls of fragrant incense. He's got his hands full, hasn't he? He takes a deep breath. This is the moment. I hope you watch the rap video I sent out. If you don't like rap, still, you've got to love the way the guy builds to this moment. Once a year, into the presence of God. Terrifying. Thousands of years, no man has come into God's very presence. Now he will. Now Aaron will be the first to go behind the veil and hopefully survive. Did he have a rope tied around his waist so others could pull him out of there should he not make it? I don't think so. Some think maybe yes. But it's not sure, but it would deviate from the instructions given, and I wouldn't deviate from the instructions if I was them. I hope I wouldn't. Another deep breath. Aaron, about to enter, this could be his last moment. He is about to go behind the curtain into the white hot center of God's holy presence. He's alone. You see that verse 17? No one else is allowed in the tent of meeting at this point. It's going to clear the area, isn't it? You see it in films. Clear the area. Bomb disposal coming in. Also, like, this is way more serious. He's on his own. He's facing a curtain. The area's been cleared. He has what he needs. In he goes. Verse 13. He mixes the incense with the coals and it creates... Thank you, Daphne, for the pictures. It creates a cloud. It creates a cloud. And this cloud rises, fills the space above the ark of the covenant in order to prevent him from seeing what is up there. So he will not die. Because God said to Moses, didn't he? No one can look upon me and live. So the cloud acts as a shield for him, because he must hide from the holiness of God. Not just once. After he has been in there and sprinkled the blood around and made the cloud, seven times on the atonement cover, the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. It's not actually a seat. It's a golden top with two angels, their wings spread, covering. After he has done that, he has used the blood, by the way, sprinkled around, is kind of like a detergent for his sin. That's the first enter into the holy place, most holy place. It's for himself. He comes back out from behind the curtain, and he kills the first goat, sacrifices it, the blood of which he then takes back in behind the curtain, and he sprinkles that blood around as well. Verse 16, in this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. It may be you've got a different version of the Bible. It may there say all for all their sins. Depends what version you've got. Verse 21, same, all their sins. Verse 34, for all the sins of the Israelites. The glorious Day of Atonement was a glorious wrap. Just get the whole lot in there. Spring clean, triple, there's more than triple cleansing, priest, sanctuary, people. It was catch everything day. And then 15 to 20, verses 15 to 20, are the heart of chapter 16. You could say the heart of the Torah, maybe the Old Testament. Two trips into the most holy place, one on his behalf and his household, the second for the people's sin. Verse 18, out to the altar in the courtyard to atone for that. And it seems what we've got here in verse 20 helps us, that all that's done here and all that's being done so far seems to accomplish atonement for all these places and people. Aaron, the holy place, his house, the tent, the altar, the people, all of it needs cleansing because of the way the sins of the people have accumulated to everything by means of the sacrificial system. It's clean everything day. But the day is not done, is it? Perhaps the most memorable, certainly the most visual for the people, is to come. End of verse 20, there is still a live goat. So let's go back to verse 8. And again, if you've got a different version of the Bible in your hands, it may read like this in verse 8, okay? He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other for Azazel. It may read that, so you've got ESV or ISV, whatever. Two goats, one for sin, the other for Azazel. And this is a word that causes translators a few sleepless nights, because they don't quite know what it means. Azazel could be a place, like a rocky precipice would fit. Some have thought it might be a demon, but traditional, and what we've got in this version, is scapegoat. And of course, this is where the word comes from. Can hear the word escape in there as well, can't you? Whatever the exact meaning of Azazel in the original, the implication is clear. The live goat bears away the people's sins. Verse 21, the high priest lays both hands on the goat's head and confesses over it all the wickedness, all the rebellion of the Israelites. All their sin. It is as though all the accumulated filth, all the dregs and the dirt and the disgusting stuff of the camp, in that one moment is taken and transferred onto this furry little head. All their sins, all the people swearing, untimely words, all the times they got angry in the wrong way, all their laziness, all the times they yelled at their children, all the times they disrespected their parents, all the times in their hearts they were quick to judge other people, all the times that they love their neighbours with that kind of distant, lazy love rather than the love of God. All the times they laid awake at night because they worried what people thought of them and not God's glory. All their stubborn pride, all their spoken sins, all the unfair things said about others in the community, in the church family, all their lust, all the filth, all their wickedness. If the world could see their lives, and your life, and my life, it would be, as Daniel prays, open shame. It would be a sewer, wouldn't it? Your sins on display right now, my sins on display right now, it's an open sewer. It's open shame. Sins confessed onto the goat. Then there is a man with a very important job. He is to take the goat out into the wilderness and he is to drive it away. It could be to the edge of a cliff, or it could just be away. Whatever it is, the point is it must not come back. Out it goes. Out goes the goat, away from the flock. It was probably once seen, away from protection, away from sustenance, away from care. Out from the clean realm into the dirty and then the dead realm, where it will probably not last the night. Either a predator will take it or conditions will kill it. Away goes the goat, bearing people's sins and guilt. First goat dies for sins forgiven. The second is sent so sins are forgotten. Forgiven and forgotten. Is that wonderful? Can you imagine being there on the Day of Atonement? Imagine being one of the children watching. Millions of sins accumulated through the year on his hairy little head, and then someone takes the rope and leads him out through the courtyard, and you're out by the tent somewhere, and out comes the goat, and no one's going near it, past the tents of the Levites. Maybe people followed it, maybe only, obviously only so far, but through the tents of the tribes of Simeon, Gad, on goes the goat being led, on and on until it's on the edge and then outside the camp, and it keeps going. The little goat keeps going. It's still led. It's going further and further, to the furthest, to the no-go zone, which is wilderness. So you've got zones we talked about. You've got the Holy of Holies. You've got the tent of meeting. You've got the camp, you've got outside the camp, and then you've got wilderness. And only on the Day of Atonement did they go all the way in and all the way out. Understand the goat. Understand this walk the goat took. And you can never read Psalm 103 the same way again. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. He does not treat you or me as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as has he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the wilderness is from the holy place, so far did he send the people's sins. And they could see it. The children could watch as it was led out. There goes the goat. Off he goes. He's heading into the wilderness, Mummy. Yeah, can you see him still? Yeah, oh no, I can't. No, he's gone. Oh, there he is. He's going over that little hill. And they're looking and they're looking until out of sight. Gone for good. What a picture. Mercy and grace. Removal of sin. All gone. All on the goat. Can you see the goat? No, neither can God see your sin. That's the point. And as the priest puts both hands on the goat, it's like a double point to, of course, the goat, the greatest of all time, the sin bearer, the true goat, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, who bears away our sin, who bore away our sin, the sin of the whole world. Skip a couple of millennium and a few hundred miles to Jerusalem, and you could see, if you were there, one being led, driven outside the camp, the city of Jerusalem. Driven, led to the place of the skull, suffering, dying outside the camp. And all hands on him. Billions. Billions of sin, disgusting filth and muck of our lives on the Son of God. All your jealousy, all your raving pride, all your lust, all your shame, all your foul moods, all on Christ Jesus. Dead, buried, forgiven, forgotten. Jesus left his Father's throne so we could approach. He didn't do anything wrong, because we don't do what's right, do we? He took our sin so we could receive his righteousness. He went out into the wilderness so we could be in the family. But Jesus, the scapegoat, lived. He came back, didn't he? Came back into the camp. Though loaded down, though led away, killed and covered in the filth of billions of sins, he faced it all and he triumphed. He defeated death and he won. And the resurrection, the return of the goat, is the biggest visual telling the world that God in Christ has accomplished salvation, that sins really are forgiven and forgotten if we would come to Jesus. The scapegoat returned to the camp in glory, yes, with scars, but not with sin. Praise his name. Let's be quiet for a moment as we draw to a close. Be able to bow your head and respond in your heart to God's word. Hebrews chapter 9 is God's commentary, if you like, on Leviticus 16. Let me read you a verse or two. Only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, so obtaining eternal redemption. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Praise his name. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Praise you, Lord. Amen.